The title of this course is Introduction to the Group Studies for New Christians. This course serves as the teacher training session number 3 for the Group Studies for New Christians. This is a foundational staff training course which will be very helpful for all staff, whether or not they are involved in teaching in the Teen Challenge classes. There is a PowerPoint presentation and a note sheet to use as you listen to this tape. Visit the website iteenchallenge.org and go to the staff training section to locate this course and the list of items you can download to use for personal study or for teaching others in your ministry. This session was taped at the Regional Teachers Seminar in Lincoln, Alabama in October 2008. The presenter is Dave Batty. What I want to do is just give you a very quick overview of how this session fits in with additional sessions that provide a basic training for new teachers who would potentially be teaching the group studies for new Christians. And there are 6 basic sessions for new teachers to teach the group studies for new Christians, and then there are also 6 advanced sessions. And so I just want to give you those titles just so you can see what they are. The basic courses are, number 1, Keys to the Success of Teen Challenge, and that's the same as the first course for teacher training for the personal studies for new Christians. And the second one also, How to Train New Christians. And what we're going to get into here in just a minute is number 3, An Introduction to the Group Studies for New Christians. And next, how to prepare creative lesson plans. And then after that, we're going to talk about creative teaching methods. And that's an issue that I think is very important, that we see how to bring creativity, even as some of the earlier sessions in this particular conference have been talking about. And then number 6, helping students set personal application goals. Now, the 6 advanced courses for this training, number 7 deals with learning styles. Number 8, moving beyond lecture to creative discipleship training. Number 9, what to do when discipleship training does not work. Number 10, on the subject of renewing the mind. Number 11, creating a passion for lifelong learning. And number 12, teaching students with low reading levels. Now, these particular sessions here on the events, they are not listed in a sequential listing of you must do number 7 before you do number 8, but these are just 8 or 6 additional topics that we feel will be very beneficial for teachers. And some of those, it's actually probably more beneficial to take those courses after you've been teaching for a little while. And so what we're going to do, though, right now is we're going to take a look at this topic of I want to introduce the Group Studies for New Christians courses. And let me just take a minute and tell you a little bit about how these came to be. When I first started working at Teen Challenge in Brooklyn, New York in 1971, I was right out of college, and I asked the program director to put me on the schedule for teaching the Bible classes because I was very interested in doing that. And it was about 6 months before he finally trusted me enough, and he had good reason to wait 6 months, as you do as well, for those of you that are directors, before you put certain people in charge of teaching the Bible classes. But I remember the day that he had called me into his office and he said, "Dave, I want you to teach these classes." And this is the material for the subject, and I don't remember which subject it was, but it was 2 pages of typed notes, and that was what the student got, and that was the student manual. And then there was a page or so of questions, and that was same for teacher and student. Somebody had gone through some old Sunday school quarterlies, and they had extracted from these outlines, and that was what. And I remember one of those courses was on faith, and it had 3 D's: faith defined, faith derived, and faith D something else. And I just remember teaching that course and being so frustrated because it was like, you know, this is just, well, I'll be kind. I won't tell you what I really thought. But I just realized, you know, this, I was very unhappy. And of course, one of the things you need to realize right out of college, knowing everything, of course, when you first come out of college about how to solve the problems of the world. And, you know, I very quickly realized that I really didn't have the tools I needed to teach this curriculum. And I'm not just talking about the curriculum. I didn't have curriculum tools like a teacher's manual, student manual, study guide. I'm not talking about those kind of tools. I'm talking about the internal tools of knowing how to teach. And I just said, you know, this stuff was a bunch of junk. I wonder who put this together anyhow. Fortunately, I never met that person that I know of. But I said, well, let me go ahead and teach it. And you just need to be aware that with that kind of a comment, one of my spiritual gifts that I've had a double anointing on since birth is the spiritual gift of criticism. Some of you in this room can relate to that. But I said, let me go ahead and teach this. It's a 3-month cycle. And so 3 months later, I said, you know, this stuff is still a bunch of junk. And I made a commitment to myself. I said, teaching it once doesn't make you an expert at it. You know, you need to give it a chance, a second chance. And so, but I said at that 3-month cycle, I said, I'm going to start revising these. Well, 3 months later, at the end of 6 months of teaching, I had figured out how to make do. And you know what? Some of us, we end up making do with mediocre. And we live with that level of contentment for the rest of our life. And at that 6-month juncture, there was, you know, man, I'm already busy enough. But I told myself, no, you made a commitment to revise these, so start revising them. And that's really how that came about, that what evolved into what we now know as the Group Studies for New Christians curriculum. And I won't go into a detailed description of that process right now, other than to say one of the things that I believe is that extremely important is that when we train new Christians, we really get our focus right on who we're training. And we're training new Christians. We're not training ourselves in terms of where we are at spiritually. And one center, when I first got involved in this, they were teaching their students Greek and Hebrew. And when I talked to the teacher about it, they just thought that was really good. And I'm thinking, yeah, Hebrew and Greek, yeah, but what about attitudes? What about temptation? What about failure? And, you know, these very practical issues. And so one of the challenges that I feel we are faced with is how can we most effectively take these students and get this discipleship process started. So as we look at the Group Studies for New Christians, let me, first of all, just in a very general way, talk about the two different major parts of this training. The Group Studies for New Christians are designed using the traditional lecture discussion classroom format that most of us are familiar with from our own educational backgrounds. The Personal Studies for New Christians is a very different approach, and if you have not been a student in Teen Challenge, and if you have not gone through the personal studies, most individuals not having a Teen Challenge background have never been in that kind of an educational program, which is an individualized approach to learning. And we're not going to talk about that in this particular session. But one of the things I would just say is these two educational programs are designed to complement each other. And I believe that the two of them together can provide us some very effective ways of helping our students. Now, there are a number of additional types of classes and trainings that I think are very helpful to our students. One example of that is to have some kind of training on the issue of AIDS, HIV/AIDS, also on the area of addressing sexual abuse. Over 90% of all the women coming into Teen Challenge residential programs have a background of sexual abuse, being a victim of abuse. The men, the statistics are a little bit lower. They're about 75%. And let me just say, if you don't address that issue in a very clear and constructive way, your graduates are not going to be ready to face some of the challenges after they leave Teen Challenge, because sexual abuse causes damage, which if it is not resolved, well, I went to the altar and I prayed through. Now, I'm not talking about that. I believe in prayer and I believe that God can touch us. But there are issues, there are issues of damage that need to be addressed. And so that's just, those are just a couple of the different examples. And another course certainly on the area of evangelism, on emotional dependency, and those are just some examples. Now, let me talk about what I would recommend as a proposal for a Teen Challenge Center in terms of a curriculum schedule. My recommendation is that you have 3 hours of class per day, 5 days a week. And you say, well, Dave, obviously you're out of touch, because at our center we have this, this, this that fills up the schedule. Well, there was a wonderful leader from our nation who said, I have a dream that someday, we need to capture that phrase and say, I have a dream for our center that someday we will have class 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for discipling our students. And you need to mount a campaign, a nonviolent campaign, to see that dream become a reality. Now, what I recommend is 1 hour per day for the group studies for new Christians and 2 hours per day for the personal studies for new Christians. Now, the group studies for new Christians are designed to last about 4 months if you are taking about 1 week per course. Now, there's a couple of them, especially How Can I Know I'm a Christian, where you can easily take 2 weeks. And there are other courses that could be expanded. But what I would like to suggest, now, part of it is determined on whether you are an induction center that feeds into a training center, and therefore you only have your students for, say, 4 months or so, or if you're a one-year program where you have them there for the entire time. Now, if you're a one-year program, then there's no compelling reason, you know, like we have to get this done, otherwise it's going to hold them back, because you can spread it out as you want to. But what some centers have done is they take and they teach one group studies course per month, or they take 2 or 3 weeks to teach per course. I would like to suggest that you don't do that. What I would like to suggest that you do is that you work with a 4 month cycle and teach all of those within a 4 month period, and then you have a second cycle of group classes for the next 8 months. And some of these subjects, it would be very good to repeat that subject, not necessarily teaching the same course. For example, I think in the men's program, the course on temptation should be taught a second time, but zeroing in specifically on sexual temptation. Now, I'm not saying that it's not needed for the women's program. I'm just saying that specifically about the men's program, because that is such an incredible need for the men that come through Teen Challenge. Now, the reason I suggest doing that as a two-stage process is because it's just like the first time you took, if you can remember back to when the first time you had any teaching on the basics of psychology, and they talked about the id, the ego, and the superego, and some of these other basic concepts, and it just sort of went right over your head. The words were there, but as far as what that means and what significance that has for you, some of those principles, you have to go through that 2 or 3 times. In fact, here's how I'd like to picture it in terms of the growth of an individual. It's sort of like a cycle or a spiral. And then let's call this slice right here, let's call that temptation. Let's call this slice here self-image. Let's call this slice here attitudes, and so forth. You get the idea. But you can't teach them everything they need to know about that in one super deluxe, absolutely terrific course. No matter how super a teacher you are, they're not going to get it, because it requires application. And application creates new understanding of the need for more growth. And I sat back there this morning and I took notes on the devotion that was presented this morning and put together a very interesting way of looking even at what Jesus did in terms of washing the feet of the disciples. He didn't teach first and then do it. He did it first and then he said, I'll explain it later. And after he had done it, then he explained. And sometimes we get so caught up in teaching everything they need to know, then go apply. It doesn't work that way. It's much better to get them doing it, and then they stumble and they say, wait a minute, that doesn't work. What's wrong here? They don't have enough information, but they're motivated to come back and learn more because now they realize, hey, I tried this, it didn't work. I was at a workshop once. It was a teen challenge workshop. It was a guest speaker. And he said, how many of you are familiar with the 12-step program? Every single person in the room raised their hand. And for the next hour, he talked a very basic course about the 12 steps. And I thought, somebody should have had a gun and shot the guy. You know, that was so stupid. Because everybody already, I mean, he asked the question himself at the beginning of his session. And then, sometimes though, we do that. We assume that our students know nothing, so we're going to start with point A and go all the way through point Z, rather than making this an interactive process where we discover where are they at in this process. Have they, you know, are they way out here? Now, some of them may be way out here in terms of knowledge, but in terms of the application, they're way behind. But the whole idea is that you grow here, it provides a broader foundation than for what you need to learn next. So, in terms of structuring your educational program for your center, I'd like you to keep this in mind, that your students, as they go through the program, they are more ready, or let me rephrase that, they are more prepared to learn the next lessons that you have for them because of what they've already got under their belt, not just informationally, but experientially. And so that's why I argue for trying to condense the group studies into a four-month period. Now, you notice that I put up here 1 hour a day for the group studies class, and I've had some dear friends who've challenged me on that and saying, well, have you tried to teach your material in 1 hour? And we'll get to that in one of our next sessions. But anyhow, as you can see, the personal studies can be used the entire way through the program. Now, with the group studies for new Christians courses, there are 14 courses in this series right now. And they deal with a variety of issues, and what we're trying to do is to provide a broad introduction to the Christian life. We are not assuming that they are Christians. In fact, when I teach these courses and I'm teaching on a particular topic, I will say, now, if you are a Christian, then this is what you can expect when you go to put this to practice in your life. And I enjoy teaching new Christians and non-Christians. And now, the other thing about the group studies, in fact, when I first came to Brooklyn in 1971, we had a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule, and we had a Tuesday, Thursday schedule. And we had different classes on Tuesday, Thursday, and then we had Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, you talk about a chaotic schedule, because what that really meant is every day the schedule was different in the minds of the student. Well, finally, we restructured the schedule so we had the same schedule Monday through Friday, at least in the morning when we had our classes. And so, student will say, well, what are we supposed to do now? Well, what did you do yesterday at 10 o'clock? Well, you're going to do the same thing today at 10 o'clock. And I really think that consistency in schedule is a great benefit for your students as well as your staff. So I would just encourage you to try to work towards that. Now, I don't know what kinds of mountains I'm asking you to climb with some of these statements, but I just would encourage you to try to establish that kind of consistency. It just makes it a lot easier for the student. Now, one of the other things with the group studies courses is we recommend that you teach one subject in about a week. There's four lesson plans, and the fifth one is the test period for most of these subjects. And, well, what we're trying to see is with this kind of a schedule, you've got 14 starting points. So that when a new student comes into the program, my recommendation is you mainstream them into your classes immediately. Now, I would just, if it's Wednesday and we're already halfway through this course, I would just say, listen, Alan, you don't have to take the test. You don't have to do the homework. You don't have to memorize verses. But I want you to sit in the class so you can see what the other students are doing. And many times students will try to talk you into letting them catch up on that course because they get really excited about what's going on. But it's going to end up being their last course in that 14 course cycle anyhow. So they'll get it on the back end without any complication. But my recommendation is that what you do is every Monday, everybody is on a new starting point. And so you then truly do mainstream your new students in a very easy and quick way. Now, they are numbered 1 through 14, but that's just for a numbering purpose. That's not because you have to cover number 1 before you cover number 2. Now, let me back up and just mention this. There is a suggested teaching sequence to these subjects, and I just would encourage you to consider the teaching sequence that's here. And I'll talk more about that when we talk about felt needs versus unfelt needs here in just a minute. Now, the primary goals of each of the group studies for New Christians course. First of all, we want to provide basic biblical principles for the life of new Christians. Another way of looking at this is not a class about drug education or even getting off drugs. It's really a class about life. These are teaching life skills and basic life skills. And we want to provide the milk, not the meat, spiritually speaking. Number two, we want to start them on the path to personal application. Now, let me come back and answer that other question about, hey, we need an hour and a half to teach these each day. And what is the driving reason behind that? Well, we just can't cover all the material. Well, let me give you a secret about teaching that I learned early on, and that is one of the best ways to motivate your students is don't cover everything. And tell them, you know, we're not going to have time to finish all this today, and they're going to say, but wait, I wanted to talk about that. And on the inside, you're saying, good, maybe you'll talk about it after class. But same thing with a small group. If everybody here is a small group, and we wait until the last group is finished, what does that mean with all the other groups? They've been sitting around waiting for the last group to get done. It's much better to not give them enough time to finish so that they say, I want more time. What does that do? That creates within them a desire. I'd like to talk with you more about that. I want to hear what you have to say about that. And what it does is it creates that also that awareness. We didn't get it all done. One of the greatest frustrations I have with graduates is they leave the program thinking they know it all. And I certainly didn't tell them that, but somehow they arrived at that conclusion. Now, you can do this from the pulpit if you preach, too, but you just need to know who the preacher is. I was visiting a church where a friend of mine was the pastor. He had me preach, and I use that strategy. I say, well, you know, and I'm going through my message, and, you know, I got these different points. Well, I'd really like us to spend more time, but we don't have time to go into that. And I was doing that intentionally. And the pastor afterward rebuked me. He said, you should have taken 45 minutes, you know. That's all right here at our church. You can do that. But it wasn't that I wanted to preach for 45 minutes. I wanted them to know we don't have time to cover everything. And you know what? That's okay. And that's okay. So what is not okay is to ignore or to not have time for personal application. I would much rather that you cover 1/10 of the material in the course and get them moving on personal application than to cover it all, as far as information goes. But, okay now, students, go put this to practice in your life. That's not personal application. just sort of throwing that out there, go put it to practice. We need to structure into the teaching process, and we'll talk about this in the next session, a very clear part of the class session where we are focusing on personal application. Now, you've got to discipline yourself as a teacher in terms of time management in the class session. But we'll talk more about that in another session. But also, number three, with the group studies for new courses, new Christians courses, we want to provide a broad foundation for Christian living. There's 14 different subjects, and actually within some of those subjects, there's other subjects. I guess the thing that that I'm concerned about is that we recognize that we need to move through these subjects rather quickly. And here, let me use this illustration. We're taping this. It's the end of October. And here in Alabama, it's getting cold. This is not the time to go out and plant tomatoes or squash or green beans or peas or whatever you like in your vegetable garden. Now, you can plant them and you can water them, but they're not going to give you anything because it's the wrong time of the year. And you know what? With our new Christians, we need to be very attentive to when is the right time to plant into their lives these basic teachings about what it means to be a Christian. And we need to get away from this idea of teaching everything perfectly before we move on to the next subject. I would much rather give them a taste of 14 different subjects and get them going on personal application, because then they can come back with more information and apply that. If we teach them this life process of personal application, and in fact, let me rephrase that. I don't think there's anything more important that you can teach your students than this process of personal application. The information, goodness, there's an unlimited amount of information available for them to continue to grow as they continue to serve the Lord. Now, I want to talk for just a moment about felt needs versus unfelt needs. With the group studies for new Christians courses, some of these topics are very much issues that they recognize they need to grow. Which ones of these subjects would you classify under the category of felt needs, where they feel, yeah, that's a need I've got? Which ones of those sort of jump out at you that fit that category? Attitudes, okay. Anger and personal rights? Growing through failure? Love and accepting myself? Obedience to God? Well, some of them. Personal relationships with others? Temptation? Now, which ones would fit on the category of unfelt needs? Okay, obedience to man probably is one there that's on. Spiritual power in the supernatural. I think attitudes would probably be on the other side for most of them. A quick look at the Bible. How to study the Bible. Now, let me just quickly clarify what I'm talking about here to make sure we're all on the same track. There are some of these subjects where everybody realizes this is an area where I need to grow. There are other of these subjects, they don't recognize how important they are, but we, who are farther down this spiritual walk, we recognize those are important. And so we recognize that it's a need, even though they don't feel it's a need. I think I mentioned in one of the earlier sessions that if the students were voting on what subjects they want to study at Teen Challenge, I think that Revelation and End Times Prophecy would be on a lot of student lists. It's not on our list here. It's not because I don't believe in it. It's just that it's not a priority need at this early stage of their spiritual growth. Now, in terms of the materials for the group studies for New Christians course, each of these courses has a teacher's manual, and this teacher's manual has lesson plans for the teacher, as well as it includes a sample copy of all the student materials that go along with this particular course. And there's a separate teacher's manual for each of these 14 courses. Now, there's also a student manual, which is like a textbook. And depending on which course you're looking at, they are not all the same length. But our goal with these is to communicate the basic information that they need to get an understanding of this course. And then we have the study guide. And the study guide is a series of projects for them to work on, homework assignments. Some of these prepare them for the next class session. Some of them follow up today's class session. But our purpose for these is not just busy work. It's really to help them move towards application of these principles in their life. And then for each one of these courses, there is also a test. Now, let me just very quickly make this comment about the test. The main reason we have the test is to help the student take seriously the importance of studying the material. If you didn't have a test, a lot of students wouldn't give much attention to it. But the test is not, we're not trying to compete with a Bible college here. This is not about an academic achievement program, but it's the tests are really an attempt to try to help them get into that material enough so that it begins to stick a little bit more. Now, let me just also encourage you as you grade these tests to use a certain amount of grace, but not unlimited grace. I was talking with a friend of mine who recently visited a Teen Challenge Center. And in that particular center, the teacher had left recently. But what that teacher would do is each week at the beginning of the week, he would hand out a sheet of paper. And on that sheet of paper, he would itemize everything that was going to be on the test. And, you know, he thought, okay, well, why don't you just give him the test at the beginning of the week and say, here's the test. You know, I don't want my students getting stressed out. Well, you know what? A little bit of stress is not all that bad for the students. And students are saying, well, is this going to be on the test? I'd say, well, do you think it's important? Well, I think you probably should study that then. So I would give some hints about it, but I wouldn't necessarily tell them. Now, some of the things I'd say, look, you better prepare. You better be prepared for this because it is going to be on the test. But that would only be a few of the very major things that I thought, you know, if they don't study this, it's going to be a big-time loss. And then also, once they've finished the course, there is a certificate that we give to them congratulating them for completing that course. And you might say, well, look, we're dealing with adults. We're not dealing with kids, so we don't bother with that kind of stuff. And my response is, you need to take time to specifically and in concrete ways recognize your students' achievements. And they're not little children, they are adults, but they need to see those steps of success recognized and celebrated and honored by you as the teacher. And so I just encourage you, don't minimize the importance of those certificates. Now, let's very quickly talk about the benefits of the Group Studies for New Christians classes approach, which is traditionally the lecture discussion format. Number one, in a group setting, it creates an opportunity for positive peer pressure. I love to have new students come into a class where the older students are really into it. Because then the new students are sort of sitting there saying, good grief, what is going on here? And all of a sudden they realize, hey, if these other students are really into this, maybe I should pay attention to that. So positive peer pressure is very beneficial. Now, second of all, the teacher can organize the class, the material, and then carry it out as planned. In other words, you can plan the curriculum, you can know what subject is going to be taught next week, and so forth. And it just makes it a convenient approach to teaching. Now, the third benefit that I see is that it provides for immediate feedback, because when you're teaching these courses, and if you're doing more than lecturing them, you're getting them involved in discussion. Some people have asked me, "Well, Dave, how did you how did you develop these courses to begin with? And I say, well, it was an evolutionary process. I believe in evolution, just not in terms of species evolution. Take attitudes. If you look at the outlines for most of those courses, they are structured with questions. And that's how I would teach it. I'd say, okay, this week we're talking about attitudes. Question number one, what is an attitude? And they say, well, you're the teacher, tell us. I say, no, I want to know, what do you think an attitude is? Well, blah, 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 blah. And then they start talking and giving different ideas, and some of them are really good definitions, and some of them are really way off track. Well, Dave, you're just wasting time. No. When you get your students involved in the learning process, you get immediate feedback on where they are at. Because if you ask that question and you get four or five good definitions, well, don't take the next 5 minutes giving them the basic definition of what is an attitude. Go with what they've got and move on to the next thing. But I just would encourage you in this process of structuring these classes so that you're getting lots of feedback. Now, you got to know how to shut that conversation down, because otherwise, and some students say this, hey, guess who's teaching this week? Bob's teaching this week. We can always get him off on a tangent. Well, you know, it's okay to do that some of the time, but you need to have a plan and stick to your plan. Also, you can get your students interacting with questions and learning activities in the class, and we'll talk more about that in a future session here. And also, some subjects I think are more easily covered in a group setting, such as anger, attitudes, friendships. You can just do some things in that group setting that make for it's just easier, I think, to teach. You can teach it in the personal studies. That's not that it can't be done, but I think the group setting lends itself very well to that. Now, there's some limitations of this approach. Often, the communication is one way. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Germany and doing this training, and I said, now, I don't know what's going on in your country. And I didn't. I mean, they got several teen challenge centers over there, but I said, please, please, please do not go into the classroom and open up the student manual and just read it to the students. And, you know, it's side-by-side translation, and some of the people are laughing. And later on, one of the guys came up to me who was a new staff, and he said, he was a graduate of the program, and he says, that's what our teacher used to do, the one who's leaving, the teacher. And I had no idea, but you know what? Tragedy is, that's not the only center in the world that's doing that. And I just would encourage you, as a teacher, you can do better than that. Don't settle for that level of teaching, just to walk in the class and just do one-way communication. And to be quite frank, this approach to teaching can really hinder real learning. Because according to the Bible, real learning involves application. Jesus said the foolish man is the one who hears these things and does not put them into practice. So are we teaching for foolishness, or are we teaching for wisdom? It's how we teach. Now, another limitation is that it can be boring. And my response is, please, 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 don't be a boring teacher. You might say, well, Dave, I'm just not creative. I have a different answer for that. You need to be disciplined, and you need to work at it. And we'll talk more about how you can be creative. But creative is not about being a genius. It's not about being some super star. It's about following certain disciplines. And if you follow those disciplines, people will perceive of you as being a creative teacher. Sometimes it's hard for students to open up to strangers. And in the group setting, I have found that there are often a small percentage, like 3 or 4 students, who do most of the talking, like 75% of the talking in the class, unless you really work at getting other students to open up. But there are some students, they just don't trust these other students, and they have good reasons for that distrust. And so what I have found is that in the personal studies for new Christians classes, in 1 week, I can learn more about this student in the personal studies than I can in 1 month of group studies classes. Because in the personal studies, students will tend to open up a lot more because it's one-on-one. So, and that is just one of the limitations of the group approach to teaching. And also, sometimes it opens up people to ridicule. And I would just say, when I teach, I really like to work with a limited number of rules for the classroom. I told you, I think, in one of the earlier sessions about this one center that had 4 pages of single-space typed rules just for the classroom. It's like, Jesus, help them. But one of the rules I think needs to be in the classroom is no ridicule of other students. And there, if there was one thing I would put my foot down really quick is when another student starts making fun or putting down another student. And I just would challenge you to do everything you can to avoid that from happening. Now, another limitation of the group studies approach this is that you've got students at different levels of spiritual maturity, and that can be a real challenge because some of them are just really bored. Others are just sort of lost because of the discussion where it's at. And then sometimes the immediate needs of a student may be different from the class that is currently being taught. It may be that just 2 weeks ago we finished a class on anger and personal rights, and now we've got this new student in the program, and they're telling you right up front, you know, the reason I'm here is because I've got a real anger problem and I really need... Well, it's going to be 3 months before we teach that subject again. And so that is one of the limitations, because it's just not practical to have a separate group class for wherever their great need is. But the beautiful thing about the personal studies is that you can package individual need curriculum for that student, irregardless of what anybody else is working on. So, one more limitation of the group studies is that you have new students coming in all the time, and so you really can't have a stair-step approach to your group classes where number one builds on number two, which builds on number three. So we've intentionally tried to structure each of these 14 courses so that students don't have to have been in the previous session to be able to understand what we're talking about this week. Now, there is a natural progression. For example, we teach obedience to God, then we teach obedience to man. So it is good if they can get those two in sequence. But it's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen that way because of when they came in the program. Now, very quickly, the structure for each course. First of all, as I mentioned, most of these courses have 5 sessions. And the first four are the lessons, and then the fifth one is the test. Each lesson has a key biblical truth and a key verse. Now, the key biblical truth in one sentence tries to communicate the main point that we're going to cover in this lesson. And then the key biblical truth is a scripture verse that provides a biblical foundation that goes along with that key truth. Now, if you have a scripture that you think is a better key biblical truth, that's fine. It's not like this is something sacred that you have to use the one that's there. But I would encourage you to make sure that we are not ignoring the key biblical truth. I think it's important that they understand that these lessons are built on biblical truth. When you listen to what the younger generation is saying, their view of truth may be very different than yours. And their perception is that my truth is whatever I think is true. Well, we need to help establish God's truth is the foundation on which we build. And you just have to keep making that point. But what I would recommend with these is that you put them on this kind of a chart or something, and then put them on the wall in the classroom. And at the beginning of the class session, say, today our key biblical truth is, and our key verse is, and then as you're going throughout the class session, come back to that. And especially if the conversation is wandering from where, and you know you need to get back on track. Well, sometimes instead of saying, you know, we don't have time to talk about what you're, you know, what you're, and it sounds like a real put down to them. You can say, you know, today our key biblical truth is, and come back to that as a way of pulling everybody back to this key thing that you want to talk about. And also I would say, if you can't do anything else, cover the key biblical truth. In other words, do one thing well in the class session. Now, if you have time to do some other things, that's fine. But you don't have to cover everything. So, each lesson also ends with a personal application. And I just would encourage you, discipline yourself to know what time in this class session you need to be on the key biblical truth. So if it's at 20 after the hour or whatever time it is, or 10 minutes before the hour, you know that's when I need to be starting the conversation on the personal application. Discipline yourself to stop whatever you're doing and transition into that personal application. Well, Dave, I didn't get done what I needed to cover. That's okay. Don't mess with the personal application time. That's my own philosophy. Now, is that easy? No. In fact, when I was early on teaching these courses, one day the Holy Spirit just impressed on me, Dave, you need to only be teaching what you're applying in your life. And my response was, well, God, it's all your truth. It's all important truth. And the Holy Spirit was not impressed with my response. And so I literally threw out about half of what I was teaching and started to focus my teaching on this issue of personal application. I just would encourage you, obsess on personal application and you'll be viewed as a great teacher. If you are obsessed with covering all the information, that's what you'll be known as a dump truck driver. Just come in and dump the information and drive, boy, we got it done today. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about personal application. And also, each course has scripture memorization. And I am one who believes in the renewing of the mind. And I believe that one of the most powerful tools for renewing the mind is scripture memorization. And so there's also a class assignment list with each course. That it's in the back of the study guide that gives a list of the quizzes and the when the projects are due. Okay, I just want to mention this very quickly, and we'll talk about it in another session in more detail. But each lesson plan in the teacher's manual is designed for you to cover four different types of material. First of all, the hook is an activity to get their attention and pull them into the class session. Then there's the book, where we look into the information, the new information, the scripture. Look is relating it to my life, and the took is personal application. Now, the key biblical truth and the key verse are not the hook, but that's part of that early introduction of the lesson. But then there is this lesson warm-up activity, the hook activity that, and we'll talk more about that in a future session. But then there are specific activities and instructions for covering each part of the lesson in the teacher's manual, and then there is the personal application time. Now, the assignments, again, I would really encourage you to get those graded and back to the students as quickly as possible, because that immediate feedback is beneficial for you as well as for the students. Now, there are some problems with teaching the group studies. And as I've said before, don't feel compelled to cover everything that's in the lesson plan or in the student manual. Number two, don't simply read the student manual. There may be some occasions when you want to direct student to page 35 because on that page there's something that you want to... That's fine, but I mean just to sit there and read through the lesson. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, don't drive a dump truck to class. A dump truck driver is one who comes in, backs that back of the truck up, dumps everything, and just drives off. They've done their job. Don't dump information on your students. I would much rather you take 1/10 of that information and really work with them than to just dump on them. And then, as I mentioned earlier as well, apply in your own life what you're teaching. One of the best ways for you to become a better teacher is to be working on applying this in your own life. And I can tell you this today, that every time I work on one of these courses, it's like, it's not amen, hallelujah, it's oh me. I need to be working on this some more. And, you know, that's what it's about. It's a growing process. And with God's help, we can see this become better. Now, there is also a book called Introducing Teachers to the Group Studies for New Christians, which gives additional information on how to teach the courses. It also contains a final exam that covers all 14 courses. After they finish the entire series, there's a final exam. There's two different exams, and they're based on students who have low academic level versus the other one for the other students. And there's answer keys in there as well for that. And then there's also a certificate of achievement that can be awarded to the students when they've completed the entire series. And there's also in that book a student test record, which is just a very simple tool for you to keep track of where your students are at with these different courses. And let me just very quickly mention a couple of things about grading the assignments, the student assignments. I would encourage you to make grading a daily priority in your schedule. I've been to some centers where they're 2 or 3 or 4 weeks behind getting back to the students their grading. And we've really got to work at it. Second, what is the purpose of the homework, the assignments, the quizzes, and the tests? It's really to move them towards application. It's not just for them to master the academics. And so as you're grading this, be looking for ways that you can celebrate their insights as they're going through that in terms of what they're learning about putting it into practice. I don't know how to communicate the incredible importance of your personal comments on their lessons. Now, some of us are not very creative about writing words of encouragement. I have an answer for you. Make a list of different kinds of comments. Good job. This is a great idea. Make a list of different kinds of comments and then use them. They don't know that you're working off a list, but you know, sometimes we're busy. Oh, this is okay. We just put a check mark at the top. Those words are like gold to them. I had a teacher at my master's level training. One of our courses was on writing magazine articles. Every week we would have to write a different kind of a magazine article. And then the next class period, he would return our work to us, and he would have stapled to our work his evaluation, his assessment. It was single-space typed, individually personalized. It wasn't some computer-generated thing. And he was talking about, this is a good start here. This part was good. Here's another way you could have done that. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was like gold. I mean, I was ready to break my back, to do my best for that teacher because he took time to invest back in me. Your students are bored. They're not motivated. Let me ask you, what are you doing to speak into their lives on the homework assignments that they're turning into you? And I think there's a direct correlation between motivation of students and the personal comments you put on there. And I would just say this. If there are negative things that need to be said, that's fine. But also find at least one positive thing to say. Okay, and as I mentioned earlier, you can track their progress on the student record sheet just so that you know who's completed what and where they're at with this work. As I mentioned earlier about the test, don't tell them everything that's on the test. Let them sweat a little bit. And also on that last class session when you're giving the test, my recommendation is that before you even give the test is introduce the next course. Hand out the student manual, the study guide, tell them what things they have to have for the next class session, and then give the test. And then also, after they have completed the test, there is a certificate that you can give to them. And as I mentioned before, there is a final test for the entire series. Now, there's two books that I'd like to recommend going along with this part of training. That is Creative Bible Teaching by Larry Richards. If you've not read that book, I just want to challenge you to get it. Now, the book is really divided into three parts. You can skip the first part because it's talking about why the Bible is the Word of God. Well, we're already convinced that that's the Word of God. Go to the second section, which talks about how to teach it. And it's just a great book that really helped me to learn some of the basics about how to teach the Bible creatively. And he's the one who came up with the idea of the hook, book, look, took template. And another book that's an excellent resource is Teaching to Change Lives by Howard Hendricks. Howard Hendricks is probably one of the greatest biblical teachers of our day. Incredibly creative guy. I would have loved to have him for a teacher. I've never been in his class, but I've just, from reading his books, I think I'd have loved being in his class. And may we all have students who say the same about us. And there is additional information on the group studies courses that can be obtained. And one of the things we want to do as we move ahead is to, and we'll talk more about this in a future session, is the resources that we will have available online for each of these courses. I'd like to stop and give an opportunity for you to ask any questions at this point.